Welcome to episode 20 of Theatre Audience Podcast. I'm Natalie and I'll be bringing you the news, reviews, interviews and recommendations of the latest must-see theatre. We'll be discussing what's on, what's been and gone, the next hot ticks and friendly advice on where to get hold of those best tickets. So it's been a bit of an odd fortnight and I've had ample opportunities to see some great theatre. It all started with great promise and then I felt unwell and I haven't got all the symptoms of coronavirus, but as my immune system's feeling pretty low, I made the decision to just stay indoors. So I'm confined to the house, so apologies if I'm rambling, as I do love to talk, especially about theatre, so here it comes. I've got many interviews planned with actors and directors and writers, but I have postponed a lot of these, but I will promise to bring you these in future Theatre Audience Podcast episodes. I did manage to see Frantic Assembly's I Think We Are Alone 25th anniversary performance. I took 60 GCSE and A-level students to see this, and I've got an interview planned with the writer, Sally Abbott, which I'm very much looking forward to. A big shout out to the Theatre Cafe UK, who gave me tickets to see Michael Ball and Alfie Beau back together again in concert at the O2 last week. And this was a wonderful evening, and I watched this from the suite and thoroughly enjoyed the performance. My mother consequently got my tickets to see Love, Love, Love at the Lyric Theatre Hammersmith, which was on the same evening, and she was raving about this afterwards. A huge thank you also to the Lyric Hammersmith for inviting me to their press night of Love, Love, Love last Wednesday evening. Sadly, due to feeling poorly, I thought it best not to travel across town and put myself and others at risk. But I also have some future interviews planned at the Lyric Hammersmith with the actors Patrick Knowles and Mike Noble, who are in this production. And it's highly recommended by all the reviews that are coming out. So sadly, Broadway has closed and gone dark until the 13th of April. And now there's a UK ban on flights to the US. I know quite a few people who are planning on going to New York and seeing some shows on Broadway. And my theatre buddy and colleague Charlotte had a trip to New York planned and was very much looking forward to seeing Moulin Rouge on my recommendations from my Broadway episode 5. But to cheer herself up, she took cold and scooped up my tickets to see City of Angels last night and went in my place. Sadly, I booked these back in December and was very much looking forward to it, but I'm self-isolating at home. So a strange feeling across the globe at the moment. Midweek, I was chatting to my friend who works in the Theatre of Helsinki, and she said that everything's okay there at the moment, but they did have a trip planned to London in May to come to the National Theatre, watch shows and do some workshops, and she's concerned now that this may not go ahead. There's lots of debates on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram about concerns as to whether the West End will follow suit. And after all, the health concerns, obviously creatives are worried about money loss and livelihood. And I know that a lot of productions are struggling. And Juliet is doing really well. They're having a concert style production with the cast that they do have and trying to keep their audiences upbeat. And based on the feedback this morning, people are absolutely loving that. A lot of shows are not now doing stage door meet and greets, understandably, and press and PR are trying to keep their actors safe. I'm particularly worried about the smaller shows. If people were only doing a run for a month and if the theatre's shut, what happens then? I know that my recent favourite show, Romantics Anonymous, that I talked about in an earlier episode, has sadly had to cancel its LA shows. So big support and love out to Georgia Green in her directorial debut at the Orange Tree Theatre. She's doing a production called The Mikvah Project by Josh Azuz, and this has been running since the 28th of Feb and is due to run till the 28th of March. There's a post-show talk on the 12th of March, and we have an interview planned, and this should go out in the next episode of Theatre Audience Podcast. So this week, I've got lots of theatre booked in. Whether I make it or not will be due in part to how I'm feeling. I'm due to see The Seagull tomorrow evening, Amelia Clarke at the Playhouse, which I've really been looking forward to. And also I'm due to see Judi Dench in conversation with Giles Brandreth at the Bridge Theatre on Friday. And also there's a play booked in at the Playground Theatre, which I've not been to before, called Mum. So again, you know, I think a lot of people are being cautious and hanging on to their tickets, particularly if they've already booked them. A lot of people are just going to the theatre and buying tickets on the day to support the creatives and support the theatre industry. But with football matches being suspended, I think it's only a matter of time. And obviously, as a teacher, we're waiting to find out what's going to be happening with schools. Do bear in mind that all theatres are issuing the following statements: that the West End remains fully open and all scheduled performances are going ahead as normal. And they're just saying to be aware of the latest government advice and follow that advice to minimise the risk of the virus spreading. And now onto the main reviews. Michael Ball and Alfie Beau back together at the O2, I Think We Are Alone at the Theatre Royal Stratford East, Ostentatious at the Fortune Theatre. Michael Ball and Alfie Beau back together at the O2. So thank you once again to Theatre Cafe UK for my tickets last week to watch the show from the suite. You can find Theatre Cafe UK on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. They're in the heart of London's West End, situated on St Martin's Lane. It's a stagey coffee shop where you can buy theatre tickets, attend musical theatre events and also you can take part in their open mic for singers. So Michael Ball and Alfie Beau are the world's ultimate musical theatre singing duo, and this show marked the culmination of their final show of the UK tour. They are both hugely successful solo album artists, and they've both had their own tours, and they appeared together in the Les Misérables staged concert version at the end of last year. This tour follows their phenomenal success of the duo's previous two duet albums, Together, which was their UK best-selling album of 2016, and Together Again, which drew up a number one album in 2017. They met 10 years ago on a production of Kismet at the London Coliseum, and they both have decorated careers in theatre and opera. Ball and Beau suddenly became chart superstars as the duo sold 1 million albums in the UK. They received two Classic Brit Awards and they sold out two headline tours. And that was Sean Escoffrey, supporting prior to the start of the show. He's a British soul and R&B singer and actor. He won a Laurence Olivier Award nomination in 2007 for his work in the stage musical Parade, and the following year he played Mufasa in The Lion King. His other West End credits include Les Misérables, Smokey Joe's Cafe and Tommy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, will you welcome to the stage the Lion King himself, our special guest, Mr. Sean Escoffrey.
then the sea of musical theatre lovers were treated to a trio between Ball, Beau and Escoffrey, singing songs from The Lion King with beautiful orchestration. Beau and Ball then gave us some songs from several musicals and singers, including Hamilton, A Grease Medley, Aspects of Love, Phantom of the Opera and Frank Sinatra. And then we finally waited and were treated to Les Misérables.
And be careful what you wish for, because there we were, in the show that probably is one of the reasons why I'm standing here tonight. It launched the beginning of my career when I was in the original company back in 1986. As and then for Alfie, and the memories tonight for Alfie are extraordinary. This O2 where the Les Mis 25th anniversary concert happened, and he blew everyone away with his new interpretation of Jean Valjean. Did any of you get to see us do it in the West End? It was a magical experience, and let's try and recreate some of that magic again tonight as we enter the world of Les Misérables.
It was wonderful to hear their arresting voices together once again, this irresistible chemistry and these sensational voices. For Michael Ball and Alfie Bo back together at the O2. So as I mentioned, this was the culmination of the end of their tour, and there was a live cinema feed for one weekend only on cinemalive.com. They do have three albums out, Together, Together Again, and Back Together, and these are all currently on sale. I Think We Are Alone, Theatre Royal, Stratford East. So this is a new play by Sally Abbott and co-directed by Kathy Burke and Scott Graham. This is Frantic Assembly's 25th anniversary production with Theatre Royal Plymouth and co-produced by The Curve Leicester. It's been on a national tour and is in London until the 21st of March. Then it goes to Curve Leicester, to Guildford, to Oxford, to Bristol Old Vic and then to Salford. This production follows three different stories in Frantic Assembly's signature physical theatre style. It's a delicate and bittersweet take on our need to connect with others. It stars Chizzy Akadulu, Charlotte Bate, Polly Frame, Caleb Roberts, Simone Saunders and Andrew Turner. Team that cast, with the direction of Kathy Burke and Scott Graham and the writing of Sally Abbott, and I'm very much looking forward to this. So Sally Abbott is a British screenwriter. She's best known for her BBC One crime drama, The Coroner, which ran for two series. She's also written for Doctors, for EastEnders, Casualty and Holby City, and Series 8 of Death in Paradise. Frantic Assembly, as most of you will know, is one of my favourite theatre companies. And in my top 20 list of productions ever are Love Song, Beautiful Burnout, Stockholm, and Things I Know to Be True. Oh, and also their Othello interpretation. So much so that I have annual workshops at school with Frantic Assembly practitioners coming in to work with my students. So I'm very much looking forward to taking 60 GCSE and A-level students to see this piece so that they can write about it for their live evaluation of theatre in their written examinations. So it's the interval at I Think We Are Alone at the Theatre Royal Stratford East. And this is a really thought-provoking piece. It's funny, it's moving, it has Frantic Assembly's stamp all over it in terms of its aesthetics. It's incredibly pleasing from a drama teacher's perspective, as there's so much that students can learn from this with regards to the stagecraft, with regards to movement and voice and characterization, and the way in which it's written and it's structured, and all the elements of drama coming together, the lighting, the sound, etc. And so I'm really pleased that I've brought the students to see this piece on a human level, on an emotional level. It's totally resonating and connecting with me. I know that it's hitting the students on a different level, as we're all different ages, the GCSE students, the A-level students, and the different ages of the members of my team. So thus far, I'm thoroughly enjoying this performance. So this is a delicate and uplifting play about our fragility, our resilience, and our need for love and forgiveness. It's a bittersweet and funny take on our ache to connect with those voices we need to hear again, with those arms we need to feel around us, and those faces that we want to see again. It's about letting go, and it's about holding on to what we love the most. It's very current, it's very contemporary. Especially with everything that's going on in the world today. I personally was incredibly moved by this piece. In fact, a week later, I'm still thinking about some of the themes and issues. And I think the messages that I took away from this were that we need to make use of every minute of life that we have on Earth. I think that we need to think about how important it is to appreciate the people that are in our lives and to let them know how appreciative we are of them being in our lives. I think that sometimes we don't realize how important people are to us until it is too late, and that we shouldn't hold on to grudges or assumptions, that we need to sort them out. And in the words of one of the characters, she says, "If there's one thing I've learned, you've got to make your peace before it's too late. You've got to deal with your shit. This is your life. This one. It's not a practice one." And after many discussions with year 10s and year 11s and my A-level students and my colleagues, I think that this piece resonated on so many different levels across a completely huge demographic of ages. And here are some of the audience responses.
I'm just kind of kind of speechless, really. It was just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the show. It really left me speechless. I've never seen anything like it before. Pretty spectacular.
It took me back to some very emotional times in my life. It's a really lovely piece of work. I really, really enjoyed it.
It was really relevant and addressed lots of important issues, and it was just so well acted that I had to stand up and give them a standing ovation.
Well, I thought the performance was brilliantly acted. I thought it was an interesting idea, and although I go to the theatre quite often, I've never seen anything quite like this before. The characters developed and were very real characters, and they were talking about real life, and I thought it was absolutely fabulous.
Not only did I enjoy it, but it really is quite a lesson in today's problems where people don't share. Like the title says, I think we're alone. Most people in those situations think they're alone.
It made me think a lot about the things that we hold on to in life and the things that we could maybe do with letting go of to move forward, and also kind of healing from our past and making sure that we connect with people that are important to us.
There was a variety of different things that could kind of hit a few people.
Good. How was I? As you were. Thank you. Thanks so much.
It sent shudders, but it also made my heart sort of swell a bit. So quite an emotional experience watching it. Beautiful, beautiful.
Recommend it for everybody to come and see.
I think we are alone. So this is running from Monday the 3rd of Feb till Saturday the 16th of May. The recommended age is 14 and above. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes including an interval. There's a post-show talk on the 19th of March, and this is free to ticket holders, and my sixth formers really enjoyed this on the 5th of March. And the access is British Sign Language, captioned, audio described performances. And they also have something called Touch Tour, which is on Saturday the 21st of March at 1:30 p.m. with details on the website. And they also have a couple of interesting things. They have a Neighbours Night, and that's already passed, but quite interesting for future productions, where East London residents can get up to 40% off at the Stratford Theatre Royal. And this is exclusive with their Neighbours Nights discount. And they also have something called Uno Night, so that if you're going to the theatre on your own, you can meet other solo theatre goers before the show and during the interval. I go to the theatre on my own all the time, but I do believe that some people get a bit anxious, and on some of the Facebook theatre geek sites, lots of people are often saying, you know, what's it like going to the theatre on your own, etc., etc. And they note that their ticket prices increase as the theatre fills, so it's best to book early to secure the best seats at the lowest prices. The programme was £5, and this is the play script. It's a new play by Sally Abbott, and the play would cost you in the shops £9.99. So this is a huge bargain. Ostentatious at the Fortune Theatre. So this smash hit improvised comedy features a cast of the UK's most acclaimed and quickest improvisers and has dazzled audiences across the UK. It's had 7 national tours and multiple sell-out seasons at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Collectively, the cast have appeared on The MASH Report, QI, Mock the Week and Peep Show. And Ostentatious are dedicated to continuing Austen's legacy by bringing her lost novels to life on stage, using nothing but their skill, their wit, and title suggestions by the audience. Past masterpieces have included We Will Frock You, The Bodice Guard, and Dirty Darcying. So the blurb reads, see a Regency tale like no other, featuring willful heroines, haughty gentlemen, wayward vicars, and hilarious consequences, where two shows are never the same. I'm looking forward to seeing this, as, after all, it is a truth universally acknowledged that anyone in possession of wit and good taste must be in want of great entertainment.
So we've just stepped out of Ostentatious at the Fortune Theatre, and I'm chatting to my friend Paul. What did we think of that?
I absolutely loved it. I don't know how to describe what I've just seen. I can't imagine improvising anything like that on stage, and I've got so many of the one-liners just running through my head. I'm trying to remember the best of them, but all I can think of right now is I was a mouth baby, which I think sums up the experience for me.
It was incredibly funny and witty and charming, and just obviously they've been doing this for years. Apparently it's run at two other London theatres prior to this, and this is their gala evening performance, and the audience were absolutely like in stitches rooting for them. I was laughing out loud constantly.
There
I've actually
were so
got a stomachache.
What I heard from the crowd, one of them even prompted them to improvise on stage because of the sound of it. It was such a loud laugh from the back of the audience. They had to pretend to close a window.
Just incredible rapport between the actors, and like quite infectious. And actually, I mean, it's on every Monday. So, and we were like, oh, come again, definitely.
Absolutely.
Really, really good fun.
As they say, it's a different show every time you come. It's all spontaneously improvised.
And they take suggestions from the audience. Yeah. And it's a really fun night out.
Absolutely. I highly recommend it.
So Ostentatious is a company of improv actors, and you get a different handful and combination on each evening, which keeps it spontaneous. So Charlotte Gittins, Andrew Hunter-Murray, Amy Cook-Hodgson, Daniel Nils-Roberts, Rachel Paris, Graham Dixon, Cariad Lloyd, Joseph Morpurgo, and Lauren Shearing. And Charlotte Gittins and I had a telephone interview. Apologies where it breaks up a little. And look out for the doorbell that goes towards the end. That was our Amazon delivery of Lou Roll. Here's our conversation. I'm chatting to Charlotte Gittins, who's in the cast of Ostentatious, which I saw on Monday evening at the Fortune Theatre. Hello, Charlotte.
Hello, nice to chat to you.
You too. So I thoroughly enjoyed the performance on Monday evening. I really didn't know what to expect. I'd done my research. I'd been told by many people how much fun it was of an evening's entertainment. So I thought, right, I'm going to do this, seeing as it came back and actually turns up at the Fortune Theatre. So tell me, how long have you been involved in this project?
Well, I think the show's been going for about, 9 years, I think. And I wasn't actually one of the originals. We've still got all the original cast, and they started doing this show, six of them. And similarly, I heard about it, heard it was really fun, and went to see it and thought, oh, I'd love to do this. And yeah, happily, I sort of ended up joining a little bit later. So I came in and stepped in for the odd show and then joined full time. So I've been doing it about 8 years, I think. But yeah, we've now got nine of us in the cast, and all very close-knit and lovely. So yeah, it's been going a while.
Oh, fantastic. And what kind of preparation do you do for this? I mean, obviously you're an old timer. You've been doing this for 8 years, but what kind of prep do you do of an evening? Because obviously every show is completely different.
Yeah, they're all totally different. We genuinely have no idea what's going to happen in any given show. I guess twofold. On the night itself, we do a vocal warm-up, just because it's a lovely big theatre. That's also quite soothing and calming and just means we're all together. And then we also do just some improv warm-ups, so often really dumb games, but just to kind of, they can't prepare for exactly what's going to happen, but it's really just about sort of, making sure we're all together and having a nice time together, remembering to look each other in the eyes and stuff. So it's a bit of team bonding, really.
Mm. And do you kind of have a plan in the interval of like, right, where are we going with this? How are we going to wrap it up?
No, we actually very very resoundingly don't do that. Just because I think the second you start planning with improv, you just run into trouble and you're not really reacting to stuff in the moment. So, no, all we really do in the interval is recap names in case, make sure we all remember what the hell we're called.
Who am I playing?
And sometimes we're playing multiple characters, so that helps. Occasionally the odd question if we've heard something wrongly or something, we might say, "Hang on, did I hear this right?" But no, there's no pre-planning. That would sort of undermine the whole
absolutely
fun of it for us as well as the audience, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think that's part of the fun, is that we're kind of we're willing you on, but equally when things go wrong, it's brilliant. It's just you just go with it and it's hilarious, and we can see you kind of struggling at times, and it's that kind of acceptance of like, yes, this is happening and this is how we're going to get around it. And it's wonderful teamwork actually, and collaboration.
Yeah, it's a lovely thing, improvisation, for that, because it really is a team sport. So obviously, you know, stand up and stuff is hugely skilled, but often you're out there alone. Whereas this really, we're a whole part of the job is make each other look good and make sure we're making each other laugh, because you could so easily end up doing the same sort of Jane Austen style story again and again, where it just ends the same way. And it's much more fun for us when we're when it goes wrong, but you just happily go, okay, not what I was expecting. This is great.
Oh, have you got any favourite moments from either last Monday or any show that you've done in Austentatious?
Not terribly. I think our memories for shows are much worse than the audience's. As in, audience members often will say, "God, this happened," and I think because we're so focused, we almost blank stuff out quite easily. But there, I mean, I think there's so often hilarious things. I mean, there's definitely a point where one of the female characters was getting married, and then we suddenly had the boys turn up to be the strippers. That was memorable. they did remain fully clothed, I should stress. Apparently I couldn't pick one, just because I think because shows are all so unexpected. You just spend your whole time laughing at the other members of the cast, which is, I guess, why we still love doing it.
Yeah. I suppose, was that one the Dirty Darcying, the strippers?
I honestly couldn't even tell you. Honestly, our memories for shows are appalling.
I suppose they all blend into one after a while, do they?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's, I think just because you are sort of, you really do have to be in that moment, so you're managed to sort of retain enough information to get through a two-hour show and reincorporate ideas. But yeah, we have done hundreds and hundreds of them, so it's hard to pick which show was which. They're all very different.
Oh, yeah. So we saw, was it Northanger Crabby? And so is it, I can't remember which actor did the intro, and he's the one that makes the decision as to which title from the audience is rejected and which is kind of, we're going to run with this one.
Yeah, that's right. So I think on the night in question it was Andrew Hunter Murray doing the sort of professor introduction at the top. Actually, it changes every show. We sort of take it in turns. It's lovely. We just get the audience to shout out titles, and we'll always describe at least a couple because they're often such ideas, and then we just will pick one that we haven't done before, and that just tickles the audience. So that's always a treat. You get such clever things shouted out.
It was really exciting on Monday, because I think it was your gala opening evening, so you had all sorts of different people in the audience.
Yeah, which is a real treat for us. I mean, we're all improvisers, sort of in lots of different shows. So we all do Austentatious, but other shows as well. And it's very fun. I don't know, every show is affected by the audience you have in. So it's fun for us to get different people. And I think it was a particularly sort of mixed night in terms of who was there. Lots of people that had never seen improv. Which is a real treat. You just hope people have fun. But it was a lovely night.
Because you're one half of a duo of improv and one third of another sort of three women improv.
Yeah.
I've been reading your CV.
So, that's right. I mean, we all, as I say, the whole cast does lots of other shows as well. So yeah, I'm in a show called Anxiety Club with Lauren, who was also in the cast that night and is one of our cast members. But we all do a ton of stuff. I think any of the cast members we chat to, because improvisation is quite an active community. Mm. In London and much further afield, of course. Every single member of the cast does lots of other stuff as well.
Because I see you're a documentary maker.
Yes. So we all have mixed careers. I work on often arts and history or travel documentaries. I just worked on a thing called The World According to Jeff Goldblum, which was fun.
Oh, wow.
Fun. The whole cast, I don't know, you could have a fascinating chat with any member of the cast because everybody does a ton of other stuff, but we all love coming together for Ostentatious. It's a real treat of a show to get to do. We genuinely like each other, which helps.
Yes, definitely. Well, you kind of have to support each other, that sort of active listening at the sides. I found it quite fascinating, kind of obviously watching what was going on in the middle of the stage, but also at the sides of the stage, so kind of like, right, I'm ready, I'm going in. Such fun.
Yeah, I think you have to sort of enjoy each other, otherwise you're in real trouble. And you also have to trust each other, because we all, you know, barge into each other's scenes and stop other people's scenes and things. And I think one of the reasons the show's gone on so long is just we enjoy each other, we find each other fun, because otherwise it would be genuinely miserable, I imagine.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to young people that are entering the profession, whether they're sort of actors or whether they want to go into improv?
Gosh, who knows? Acting obviously is a tough profession. You do have to keep working at it. I think improv actually is, there's something particularly lovely about it, in as much as I think it is instantly humbling. One of the first things you have to learn is you are absolutely not going to walk on stage and get it right in the way you think you might. So you are going to fail at stuff, and that's, you know, that's true for the acting profession. You will get rejected from stuff. You won't always have exactly the career or, in broad terms, the scene you thought you might have. But just, if it is something you love, know that other people are going through the same stuff. And just, you know, keep at it. It's not a straightforward world. But I would say with improv specifically, it's a really burgeoning community. It is, for the most part, a hugely supportive community. It's an amazing way of generating material if you love writing. And it's also just, I don't know, fantastic. It kind of makes stories together. So I think, you know, don't assume it's going to be easy, but it's quite a good lesson in learning to fail gracefully and then crack on.
Brilliant. Excellent. And so who should come and see this show?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm obviously wildly biased. Everyone. But some people, I think you do sometimes, as audiences come in, sometimes you see, you can sort of tell that people have been dragged along sometimes. Because I think some people assume this is just for ardent Jane Austen fans, or it's all going to be quite worthy and stuff. It's a big, kind of smart, dumb, delightful comedy show. So you don't need to know anything about Jane Austen. If you do, you know, we're really affectionate towards it, and it's you know, I think you'll have fun either way. So if you fancy a night out and you like comedy, then genuinely this is I don't know, hopefully a fun night for anyone.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And the friend and I, we came to see it, and we agreed that, you know, whether you've got that knowledge or not, I think it's a really fun night out. And actually, because it's different every night, I think a lot of people will be coming back to see it again and again, because I'll certainly come back to see it. I think it's running until July, am I right?
That's right, yeah.
End of July.
Until the last Monday of July. So yeah. It's every Monday and quite a few Sundays.
Sundays as well.
National health policing.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, hence the fact that we're doing our interview over the phone. So it's broken up a few times, but I think the quality is generally quite good because I'm at home feeling rather groggy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh. Well, look after yourself and your audience as well.
Thank you. And thank you so much for this chat. It's been wonderful.
No, so nice to chat to you, and thanks for coming along to the show.
Top tips for Ostentatious at the Fortune Theatre. So this is running from the 19th of February until the 27th of July. We witnessed a production of Northanger Crabby, and the reviews were 5 stars from the Times. It says ridiculously silly, wickedly funny, and 4-star from the Guardian, which said a joy to behold. We booked through ATG tickets. We were in row E. And as long as you don't sit in E1, which is right near the pillar, you get an excellent view of the stage. The Fortune Theatre is incredibly small and intimate, and this is where The Woman in Black is also running. So these productions are only on Monday evenings and Sunday afternoons. Sunday performances are at 6 p.m. They have 2 DVDs on sale and some other merchandise. They don't do a programme, but you do get a list with all the names of the actors. And it's 2 hours, including an interval, which went incredibly quickly. And our tickets were £25, and it's highly recommended from us. And now for my finale and curtain call. Thank you to Charlotte Gittins from Ostentatious for our telephone interview. And best wishes to my friend Corey English and the cast of Indecent, which opened last night at the Menier Chocolate Factory. I'm hoping to chat to Corey. We spoke in episode 10 when he was starring in Curtains and had just finished on Cats movie, and I hope to bring you that interview in the future. I'll also be bringing you interviews with Sally Abbott, the writer of I Think We Are Alone, and also Georgia Green, director of the Mikvah Project at the Orange Tree Theatre. Sending my best wishes to everyone worldwide this evening and hoping that everyone stays safe. Why not grab a ticket for one of the productions mentioned in this or a previous episode? Please tune in next time and recommend us to all your friends and family. Follow us on Spotify, Facebook and Instagram at Theatre Audience Podcast, and on Twitter at Theatre Audie Pod. And do send us any recommendations of things you think we should see and review. If you've enjoyed the show, then please subscribe and rate us on iTunes and leave us a little review. Until next time, goodbye and thank you for listening.